myself, I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. Stole many a man's soul of faith. I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain. Made damn sure the pilot washed his hands and sealed his fate. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. Stuck around St. Petersburg when I saw it was a time for a change. Killed the Tsar and his ministers. Anastasia screamed in vain. I rode a tank, held a generous rank. When the blitzkrieg raged and the body stank.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wednesday, July 5th, 2017 edition of The American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Now, I chose that lead-in music tonight for a reason, and I'm going to take a little bit of a turn here, go into something a little different. I'm going to read something to you here shortly. I want you to bear with me because it's going to tie in with what I'm about to play for you and then recap. But before I do this, I want you to think of a couple of things, folks. Donald Trump made a deal with the Saudis on a $110 billion weapons contract. And he also made a deal with Qatar for, I believe it was a $20 billion weapons contract. Saudi Arabia is supposedly threatening Qatar. But I want you to think about something as I get ready to go into this, folks. We were told on 9/11 that 19 Saudi Arabians with box cutters hijacked 4 airliners and flew them into buildings. Number one, why has Trump made a deal with the country that supposedly 19 hijackers came from? Number two, Trump implemented a terrorist ban on 7 countries. Interestingly enough, those 7 countries are the exact same countries that the neocons in the PNAC documents, Project for a New American Century, targeted when the general at the Pentagon came out and whistleblew and said that they had targeted 7 countries in 5 years. Now, I want you to think about that. I'm not saying yay or nay. I'm not saying good or bad. I'm doing nothing more than bringing to the RBN audience information that you can disseminate for yourself. And I want to give a shout out to TJ. TJ, thanks for bringing this to my attention, as I'm now going to share it with the audience. 1 second, Eric Jones is calling. Eric, I just went on the air. Let me call you back as soon as I get off, or you can call into the network. I'm just verifying that you're going on the air tomorrow night as I speak to the audience. So I'll call you back. Thanks, buddy. Sorry about that. Anyway, a shout out to TJ. I'm going to share this with the RBN family. Bear with me in this, because as I read this, it might sound a little bit boring to you, but I promise you it's going to tie in. When discussing influential Protestant clergy of the last half of the 20th century, two names are likely to dominate the conversation: Billy Graham and Norman Vincent Peale. The Reverend Graham was, of course, had been a leading evangelist. Peale is a more complex figure, an active minister for 6 decades. He also became known as a writer of self-help books, working to conscientiously integrate psychological insights with religious beliefs. A Mason For 67 years, he served rather proudly as both a grand chaplain and grand prelate in his 95-year lifespan. The Peel story begins modestly in a small Greene County, Ohio town of Bowersville, where a physician-turned-Methodist preacher, Charles Clifford Peel, delivered his firstborn son on May 31, 1898. 3 years later, the Peels had a second son, Robert, and much later, a third son, Leonard, was born. Methodist ministers frequently shifted from church to church, so young Norman lived at various times in Highland, Norwood, and eventually Bellefontaine, where he finished high school in 1916. He then entered Ohio Wesleyan University in Delaware. Norman Peel spent 4 years at OWU, graduating in 1920. Initially, he worked as a newspaper reporter in Findlay, Ohio, and Detroit, Michigan. But in 1921, he entered the Boston University School of Theology. The following September, he being ordained, Peel pastored a small church in Berkeley, Rhode Island, for 2 years while completing his studies at Boston with both the MA and the STB degrees. Moving to Brooklyn, New York, following graduation in May of 1924, he became assistant pastor at St. Mark's Methodist Church in Brooklyn. A year later, he took charge of the struggling King's Highway Church, also in Brooklyn. During his 3 years there in the pulpit, church membership increased from 40 to about 900. This represents the kind of success that attracts wide attention. I emphasize the word success. Bear with me, folks. While serving at King's Highway Church, Reverend Mr. Peel became a Mason in Midwood Lodge, number 1062 in Brooklyn. In following his path, family tradition played a role as father and grandfather Clifford and Samuel Peel had Masonic histories dating back to 1869. Norman was initiated and entered apprentice on January 6, 1926, passed a fellowcraft on January 20th, and raised a master mason on March 3rd, 1926. Peel's membership in Midwood Lodge would span 67 years. Thanks to a pair of mergers, Midwood consolidated with Lexington Lodge No. 310 in 1970 and Brooklyn Lodge No. 288 in 1988, ultimately becoming Midwood No. 288 at the time of his passing. In 1927, the Reverend got a call to the University Methodist Church in Syracuse, where he spent the next 5 years. As a minister, he continued to be successful. Sunday morning attendance jumped upwards, and he did well with outreach programs at the University of Syracuse. Perhaps the most significant aspect of his stay in upstate New York occurred when he met a young co-ed at Syracuse University named Loretta Ruth Stafford, a minister's daughter. She had earlier vowed that she would never marry a preacher. However, over the next few months, Ruth had a change of heart. The couple was married in June of 1930 and subsequently parented 3 children in a union that endured for 63 years. In Syracuse, the Reverend Peel sought additional Masonic light when he joined the Valley of Syracuse AASR, completing degrees on February 27, 1928. No specifics on how Brother Peel was in his early years in the fraternity have been recorded, but the following statement made some years later suggests going to meetings frequently, and I quote, "Attending Lodge and participating in Masonic activities gave me confidence. I learned to work with people. All I had to do was bring it out," unquote. A dramatic change occurred in Peel's life in the spring of 1932, when on a March Sunday, he was asked to deliver a guest sermon at Marble Collegiate Church in New York City, a Dutch Reformed congregation. This church had encountered decline over the previous 2 years, and their board, impressed by Peel's preaching, hoped he could revive it. Accepting his pastorate required changing denominations, but he accepted the challenge and began his service there in October. Marble Collegiate would be Peel's ministerial home for the next 52 years. Those decades also saw his rise to national prominence and a vast expansion of his religious activity in new directions. For instance, he had done some radio programs in Syracuse, but in 1933 initiated a regular radio program, The Art of Living, which gave him a large new audience. Both in the pulpit and over the air, he aspired to show people the practical advantages of Christianity. According to scholar Gardner H. Shattuck, rather than preaching in obtuse theological terms, Peel was determined to talk in simple language that anyone could understand. The Reverend Mr. Peel also became one of the earliest ministers to consciously integrate psychological insights with religious concepts. Some hold that having a father who was both a physician and a preacher no doubt influenced his ideas in this area. By the later 30s, he worked with a psychiatrist, Dr. Smiley Blanton, and they ultimately co-authored two books, Faith is the Answer and The Art of Real Happiness. In the summer of 1940, Peel spent a vacation in Hollywood as technical advisor on a Frederick March film, One Foot in Heaven. As war clouds began to gather, Norman Vincent Peale found himself in an awkward situation. From the beginning, he had denounced such individuals as Hitler as a maniac and Mussolini as a buzzard, but reflecting his conservative rural Ohio background, had little use for the New Deal. When war came, he first wanted to enter the service as an army chaplain, but Ruth, who was expecting their third child, talked him out of it. So the Peales went the war years on the home front. In January 1944, they purchased a place of their own in Pawling, New York, a 28-acre small farm for $25,000, which they paid for through lecture fees. Their neighbors included such Masonic notables as Governor Thomas Dewey and Lowell Thomas, as well as noted newsman Edward R. Murrow. Pawling would be the Peels' home for the remainder of their lives. Right after the war, the Peels started another endeavor with a little inspirational magazine guidepost, which grew from humble beginnings to a 2008 paid subscription of $2,195,000. Since several persons often read a single copy, one estimate gives it approximately readership of about 15 million. Within a decade, guideposts had grown to a subscription list of 800,000. In that same positive period, Brother Peel also had his first bestseller with an A Guide to Confident Living. The end of the decade also saw Norman Vincent Peale expand his Masonic activity. He had moved his Scottish Rite membership to the Valley of New York in 1934. In 1949, he was appointed Grand Chaplain of the Grand Lodge of New York, a position he held for 3 years. A life member of Crescent Shrine Temple in Trenton, New Jersey, Noble Peale served as Imperial Chaplain in 1955. And on September 23, 1959, the AASR NMJ coroneted him a 33rd degree Mason, but this would not be the last of his fraternal activity. In 1952, Brother Peel reached a new zenith of influence with the publication of what would become a multi-million selling volume, The Power of Positive Thinking. The book remained on the bestseller list for more than 3 years and made the name Norman Vincent Peel household words. However, fame and success can often be accompanied by criticism and controversy. Such was the case with the now widely acclaimed pastor of Marble Collegiate Church. Critics of Brother Peel charged that his approach was intellectually shallow as well as too reliant on optimism. Others held, according to Gardner Shattuck, that he was converting belief in God into belief in, listen closely folks, into belief in human potential and of distorting Christianity into a gospel of self-reliance. Hurt by these charges, Peel considered giving up his pastorate. At one point, he even wrote a letter of resignation. On top of all that, his father was on his deathbed. Younger brother Leonard told him to continue as he owed his loyalty to the millions who believed in him, not to the handful that criticized him. However, his decision to hold on came in a message his stepmother Mary told him after Charles Peel had passed on, as quoted by Arthur Gordon's Norman Vincent Peel, Minister to Missions of 1958. His father said, "Tell Norman I've read every word he's ever written, and it's in harmony with the basic truths of Christianity and the teachings of Jesus." As for his critics, the dying father related, and I quote, "Tell Norman I said they were just a bunch of jackasses, and to pay them no heed and never quit," unquote. Well, that settled it. Peel handed his letter of resignation to his wife with the words, "Here, tear it up." Norman Vincent Peel kept on preaching and writing. At Marmol Collegiate College membership had grown from 600 to 3,000. Crowds waited in line each Sunday, working to hear his sermons. Thousands read his advice column in Look magazine, and millions heard his radio and television programs. His friends and admirers ranged from President Eisenhower to FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, baseball executive Branch Rickey, publisher Frank Gannett, and Western film star Roy Rogers. Well-known religious figures had befriended and defended him, including Billy Graham and his own predecessor at Marble Collegiate, Daniel A. Pawling, who wrote a positive editorial in the Christian Herald. A Hollywood film, One Man's Way, in 1964, starred Don Murray in the lead role who brought Peel's life to the silver screen. Although Brother Peel avoided heavy participation in politics, he did not remain totally aloof from it, generally reflecting the views of his Midwestern Republican heritage. This brought some criticism from failed presidential nominee Adlai Stevenson, who once said that he found St. Paul a appealing and Peel appalling. Peel opposed the election of John Kennedy as a Catholic and did not criticize the Vietnam War. Less partisan in performing marriage ceremonies, he officiated at the nuptials of both David Eisenhower and Julie Nixon, and Kentucky Governor John Y. Brown and former Miss America Phyllis George. As perhaps the best-known American Mason in the pulpit, Brother Peel spoke often of his membership and pride in the fraternity, commenting at one point, "To me, it means a personal relationship with the great historical personalities and also with the finest body of men who it is possible to assemble anywhere." In 1971, he again became general chaplain in New York and so remained until awarded chaplain emeritus status in 1985. The Grand Lodge presented him the Distinguished Achievement Award in 1972. The Scottish Rite accorded him the Gorgas Medal in 1973 and the SMJ, the Grand Cross, in 1987. While continuing into his fourth decade as minister at Marble Collegiate, still another Masonic honor came to Reverend Peel in 1970 when G. Wilbur Bell of Illinois, Grand Master of the Grand Encampment Knights Templar, appointed him Grand Prelate for the 70-73 triennium. Since he had not been a prior York Rite member, it necessitated that he knighted at the site of the Grand Master before being appointed Grand Prelate. Following the fulfillment of his status, he received the York Rite degrees in Evanston, Illinois, in February of 1974, with Sir Knight F. William Young, the Grand Commander of New York. Among those present, shortly afterward, Companion and Sir Knight Peel, affiliated with the bodies in upstate New York, in which Young held membership, Excelsior, chapter number 164, RAM, now in Shortville, Palmyra Council, number 26, R&SM, in Palmyra, and Red Jacket Commandery, number 81, KT, in Canandaigua. In February of 1975, Peel was presented with a plaque certifying membership in these bodies by Sir Knight Alvin I. Crump, the past department commander. Red Jacket Commandery number 81 in 1996 emerged with Jerusalem number 17, Geneva number 29, and Zenobia number 41 to become Sagoyewatha Commandery number 17 of Phelps, New York. Sir Knight David W. Tabor, who currently serves as recorder of both Palmyra Council and Sagawathia Commandery, recalls the above events as the source of the preceding quotes, concludes that, and I quote, "We were very proud to claim such a distinguished gentleman and spiritual giant as a fellow companion and a Sir Knight." Although Norman Vincent Peel continued to preach at Marble Collegiate well into his 80s, not retiring until 1984, he also still received numerous honors and endured criticism from some circles. As new waves of Mason bashing gained support in the early 1990s, the 60-year-plus proud member remained unflinching. For a typical bashing of Peel and Masonry, see www.letusreason.org. In the February 1993 Scottish Rite ritual, he responded to criticism as follows, and I quote, this is Norman Vincent Peel talking, "To me, Freemasonry is one form of dedication to God and service to humanity." Well, folks, we all know what God that they worship. "I am proud to walk in fraternal fellowship with my brethren. Why am I a Freemason? Simply because I am proud to be near a brother who wants to keep the moral standards of life at high level and leave something behind so others will benefit. Only as I personally become better can I help others to do the same." Now, keep what I've shared with you. I know many of you, if not all of you, have heard of Norman Vincent Peel. This is the first I knew that this man was a 33rd degree Mason. I want you to keep what I just shared with you in mind, because I'm going to share a clip with you. We're going to go to a break in a minute. I'm going to spend the last few minutes of an hour. I'm going to shift gears and talk about something else. But then at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to share about 11 minutes of a two-hour presentation with you. And all of this is going to make sense. I want you to pay close attention when I play this clip for you. Listen very closely, because the words that are being said are coming out right out of the now President of the United States' mouth. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Stick around. I'll be right back. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, because I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is you think.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
All right, folks, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Now, this clip that we're going to play is a little bit over 11 minutes long, so I'm going to save it for after the bottom of the hour break. In the meantime, I want to bring up a couple of things. First of all, I went into my chat room last night after I was off the air, and Murr, yes, I am going to read that article that you asked me to read on the air when I get through with this presentation. I want to say up front when I read it, and I will again reiterate just before I read it, I'm not real sure at this point that I believe it. Although that being said, I'm going to read it. Also, for the listener that called in last night talking about, Eric, who are you? Oddly enough, I actually got a Skype message from that very gentleman at exactly, let's see here. Where is he? Right here. At exactly... Oh, it doesn't say exactly when. I thought it had a date and time on it. But evidently, at some point between last night and this morning, it must have been later last night, Eric, who are you? It says Eric, who are you debut on RBN. He sent me a couple clips. I haven't listened to it yet. But I do plan on contacting this gentleman and having him come up on the program to hear his ideas regarding how we can operate a society without taxation. It should be a very interesting program. Now, before I get back to anything else, we are still in a pledge drive. We are running behind. I would encourage you to look in your pockets, look in your wallet, grab your credit card, anything that you like that has a monetary transaction on it, you know, pull out 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 bucks, and if you would, send a check, money order, or cash in cellophane, not cellophane, but tinfoil to 2251 Double Creek Drive, number Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or you can call Mike, my buddy at the board, at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Make a donation, folks. We're working diligently behind the scenes, like I've said before, and John and I are putting something together, which hopefully is going to help us to right this ship. Thirdly, you can go into the website. If you choose to do so, click the PayPal button and make a donation. There's a place where you can write a little something saying, here's, you know, 50 bucks or whatever, so Michael will quit barking at me. I would strongly appreciate it, but allow me credit for the fact that you picked up the phone. Now, getting back to this, I'm going to set this up a little bit further. TJ sent me this last night, and I appreciate it. I actually, just before the program came on, this is about a two-hour video. I'm only going to play the first 11 minutes of it, but I'm pretty close to finished off the entire video, and it is really astounding, folks. So the first 11 minutes of this video, I'm going to share with you, and I want you to keep in mind what I had read to you prior about 33rd degree Mason, Norman Vincent Peale. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Now, we heard a lot of campaign rhetoric. We heard him doing everything from renegotiating NAFTA to building a wall to getting rid of Obamacare to lowering taxes to putting the ban on seven different countries. Ironically, he did try to do that. I believe it's going to the Supreme Court, if you will. But as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, ironically and coincidentally, those same seven countries that he's banning people from coming into are the same countries that the neocons that wrote the PNAC documents put on their list of countries to take out. You think there's any coincidence there, folks? I'm leaving this up to you. I'm not saying yay or nay. But the deeper that I look into this, the more concerned I'm starting to become. And I had mentioned before, and I had asked a couple people about this, and I believe I put it out on the airwaves, do you think we were set up? And the response I've gotten from everyone is, oh no, no way, there's no way we could have. Well, now I'm starting to look at this a little bit closer, a little bit deeper, and I'm starting to do some deeper investigations into this, and the more I investigate, the darker it starts to get. Now, I still want to remain optimistic, and I want you guys to help me out with this, okay? Because, again, the more I see, the more I'm starting to scratch my head and go, whoa, wait a minute here, all right? And after the break, I'm going to introduce this clip. We're going to play it. I want you to pay very close attention to it, and I'm going to recap it after we hear it. But the words that you're going to hear being spoken are coming right out of our current president's mouth. This is very concerning because it, in many cases, is the exact opposite of what he said on the campaign trail. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm going to let you listen for yourself. So we'll be back after the break. See you on the other side. I'll set it up, and I want you to listen real close because I'm going to recap it after it's over. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET2, Silent Salesman App at appsapart.com. That's APPSAPART.com.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide, foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. I just talked to Eric Jones during the break. He will be sub-hosting for me tomorrow night. He will be on with John Lamb giving updates on the Bundy situation. But I also want to mention that Tom LaCavera has his change of plea hearing tomorrow. So I will be finding out the results of that tomorrow. And I will be either talking to Eric prior to the show, or if I have the opportunity, I will call into Eric's show. Well, actually, it's my show. I'll call into the show tomorrow evening and give you the results of that hearing if I can find it out. Now, that said, I want you to pay very, very close attention to the next 11 minutes, 26 seconds, because you're going to hear right from our current president's mouth what his real views are. And at the end of this, I'm going to recap it because I went through it line by line. So if you miss anything, I'm going to repeat it for you. Mike, go ahead and play that clip.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
The Everybody's got to be covered. This is an un-Republican thing for me to say.
Universal health care.
I am going to take care of everybody.
Who pays for it?
The government's going to pay for it. The government's going to pay for it.
This tax would raise approximately $5.7 trillion.
In many cases, I probably identify more as a Democrat.
I hate the concept of guns. I'm not in favor of it.
Why are you joining the Reform Party?
I really believe the Republicans are just too crazy right. I mean, hey, I lived in New York City and Manhattan all my life, okay? So, you know, my views are a little bit different than if I lived in Iowa, perhaps.
Partial birth abortion. Would President Trump ban partial birth abortion?
Well, look, I'm very pro-choice.
But you would not ban it?
No.
Or ban partial birth abortion?
No, I would. I am pro-choice in every respect.
This is an un-Republican thing for me to say.
Who do you think would be the best qualified to make a deal with Iran?
Hillary's always surrounded herself with very good people. I think Hillary would do a good job.
Make a deal with Iran.
Well, I think Hillary would do a good job.
Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker.
And I'm very impressed by her. I think she's a very impressive person. I like her a lot.
Well, I thought he did a great job tonight. I thought he was strong and smart, and it looks like we have somebody that knows what he's doing. And it's a strong guy who really knows what he wants, and this is what we need.
Hillary's a great friend of mine. Her husband is a great friend of mine. I think Hillary is going to take it, and I think Hillary is very, very capable.
I'm very pro-choice. A liberal in health care.
Universal health coverage.
I like universal.
As far as single payer, it works in Canada. It works incredibly well in Scotland.
It just seems that the economy does better under the Democrats than the Republicans.
Donald Trump and I both agree that there ought to be more taxation.
What do you think of eminent domain?
I think it's a wonderful thing. I'll be honest with you.
He was basically a Democrat.
Shortly before Trump announced his decision to run, he received a mysterious phone call from Bill Clinton.
I didn't get a phone call from Bill Clinton before I jumped in the race. Did any of you get a phone call from Bill Clinton? I didn't. Maybe it's because I hadn't given money to the foundation or donated to his wife's Senate campaign.
Until recently, Trump praised the Clintons, his longtime personal friends, every chance he got.
Hillary Clinton, I think, is a terrific woman. I mean, I'm a little biased because I've known her for years.
You support her?
I don't want to get into this because I'll get myself into trouble, but
that's
just
why
like
I asked
her.
You to see me get into trouble.
I just like her. I like her, and I like her husband. Hillary's always surrounded herself with very good people. I think Hillary would do a good job.
That's not surprising, given his generous donations to Clinton Senate campaigns and to the Clinton Foundation.
Actually, it was vintage Trump, you know. He has been, believe it or not, uncommonly nice to Hillary and me. He thought Hillary was a good senator for New York after 9/11.
Right.
And he is actually, he's one of the many Republicans who supported our foundation before they got the memo.
Not only has Trump bankrolled Hillary, he's also supported Democrats like Chuck Schumer, Harry Reid, and Anthony Weiner, amongst others. Notice how Fox failed to nail Trump on his key weakness, the fact that he's flip-flopped on just about every issue imaginable.
Well, I'm very pro-life and feel strongly about it.
I'm very pro-choice.
Since he has changed his mind on amnesty, on health care, and on abortion, I would just ask, what are the principles by which he will govern?
And yes, in many ways, Trump is likable. He's a great public speaker. He makes populist statements that other politicians are afraid to say. But I think we've been down that road before, and it didn't turn out so good.
Yes, we can.
Trump's whole shtick is posing as an anti-establishment candidate, but his cozy relationship with the Clintons clearly suggests he's the opposite of that.
He buys and sells politicians of all stripes. He's already, he's already hedging his bet on the Clintons, okay? So if he doesn't run as a Republican, maybe he supports Clinton, or maybe runs as an independent.
Okay.
But I'd say that he's already hedging his bets because he's used to buying politicians.
How do we let him get away with it, folks?
You mentioned recently that you're a Christian, that you go to church. How important is your faith to Donald Trump?
Very important. I'm a Protestant. I'm a Presbyterian.
Well, maybe because of the fact that I'm a strong Christian and I feel strongly about it, and maybe there's a bias.
In his 2000 book, Think Big and Make It Happen in Business and Life, Donald Trump boasts of having had sex with some of the, quote, top women in the world. An article in the New York Post referred to the candidate for president as, quote, a well-known womanizer. Trump did not refute the claim.
and I won't get into the filth of his conversation with Billy Bush that Christians, along with the rest of Trump supporters, so flippantly and eagerly dismissed as locker room talk. Oh, he's not without his flaws, they said, but he's far better than Hillary. I would ask, in what way exactly? Can you articulate a moral argument? Or is it all economic? All I have to say is, if he was talking about your wife or sister or daughter, you know as well as I do, you would be beyond angry and expect everyone to agree he is a scumbag. But we aren't electing a pastor, right?
After leaving one wife after another and marrying a younger model, Trump chose his third and present wife, Slovenian immigrant Milena Knaus, a woman who has posed nude for a European men's magazine. The Trump Taj Mahal Casino in Atlantic City was a first, boasting a 35,000-square-foot adult entertainment complex with both female and male strippers, pole dancers, and lap dancers. Many of Trump's supporters think he stands for biblical marriage, but homosexual activists know better. Gregory Angelo, president of the Log Cabin Republicans, a homosexual advocacy group, is cited in a CNN article saying Donald Trump is, quote, one of the best, if not the best, pro-gay Republican to ever run for the presidency.
You're not going to raise that f***ing price. You understand me?
So those factories are cheap as f***, and they don't give a s***. Listen, you motherfuckers, we're going to tax you 25%.
Have you ever asked God for forgiveness? That's a tough question. I don't think in terms of, I'm a religious person. Shockingly, because people are so shocked when they find this out, I'm Protestant, I'm Presbyterian. And I go to church and I love God and I love my church. And Norman Vincent Peale, the great Norman Vincent Peale, was my pastor. The power of positive thinking. Everybody's heard of Norman Vincent Peale. He was so great. He would give a sermon, you never wanted to leave. Sometimes we have sermons, and every once in a while we think about leaving a little early, right, even though we're Christian. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, Frank, would give a sermon. I'm telling you, I still remember his sermons. It was unbelievable. And what he would do is he'd bring real-life situations, modern-day situations, into the sermon. And you could listen to him all day long. When you left the church, you were disappointed that it was over. He was the greatest guy. And then, you know, he passed away, but he was a great... He wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, which is a great book.
I don't want the world to know. I don't want my heart to show. Two faces have I.
Have you ever asked God for forgiveness? I'm not sure I have. I just go and try and do a better job from there. I don't think so. I think if I do something wrong, I think I just try and make it right. I don't bring God into that picture. I don't.
Pause for a moment and reflect on what Trump is really communicating here. In first attempting to dodge the question of whether he ever asked God's forgiveness, Trump divulges that the one so-called Christian he holds in high esteem is one of the most influential 33rd degree Freemasons who ever lived, who, given the very nature of the higher Masonic degrees, is no real Christian at all, but rather a Luciferian. And then, like any other proud-hearted son of the devil, Trump acknowledges he never believes he does wrong, despite all the immorality he is engaged in. and that he has no intention of bowing the knee before God to ask his forgiveness.
Now, when I take, you know, when we go in church and when I drink my little wine, which is about the only wine I drink, and have my little cracker, I guess that's a form of asking for forgiveness. And I do that as often as possible because I feel cleansed. And
so for forgiveness, that notion of forgiveness, that's not a central...
Well, I try not to make mistakes where I have to ask for forgiveness, for one thing. So when I'm asked a question like that, it's like, you know, I don't like to make a lot of mistakes.
So, and I would never ask the detail, but the idea of repentance, is that something that's important to you?
I think repenting is terrific.
But do you feel the need to?
If I make a mistake, yeah, I think it's great. But I try not to make mistakes. I mean, why do I have to, you know, repent? Why do I have to ask for forgiveness if you're not making mistakes? I work hard. I'm an honorable...
Cusp of a new epoch. One of prophecy.
All right, Mike, cut it. That's it. Let's go. Okay. All right, there you have it, folks. Now, I'm going to recap this, okay? And I'm going to kind of point a few things out to you here, going all the way back to the beginning, because I've gone over this line by line. The campaign rhetoric was that he was going to repeal Obamacare, and he was going to have something much more beautiful, much more great, and everybody's going to love it, and it was going to lower the prices and all this good stuff. And the words right out of his mouth were, he's going to take care of everybody, and the government's going to pay for it. Do you know what that means? That means single pay, which is what Obamacare was designed to do to begin with. Single pay. Remember on the campaign trail when he said he was going to give it back to the states and there was going to be a lot of competition? Well, that's the exact opposite of what he told us during the campaign. He also goes on to say he identifies more as a Democrat. He hates the concept of guns, and he's not in favor of them. Another quote, Republicans are just too crazy right. His views are a little bit different than if he lived in Iowa, he said. When he was interviewed by Tim Russert, he said he was very pro-choice. He wouldn't ban partial birth abortion. Wolf Blitzer asked him, who is the best qualified to make a deal with Iran? His answer, Hillary. Hillary's always surrounded herself with very good people. I think Hillary would do a good job. Again, Wolf Blitzer on Nancy Pelosi. Trump says, I think Nancy Pelosi is a very impressive person. I like her a lot. What do you think, folks? On the Wall Street banker bailout, where the bankers were rewarded with billions instead of being jailed for their crimes against the American people, he praised the stimulus and Barack Obama by saying that he thought Obama was strong, smart, and looks like we have somebody that knows what he's doing. A strong guy who really knows what he wants, and this is what we need. He goes on, another quote, Hillary's a great friend of mine. Her husband is a great friend of mine. He thinks Hillary is going to take it and that she's very, very capable. Does that sound like somebody that's going to turn around and go after Hillary for any of her crimes? I leave that up to you. Single-payer health care. It works well in Canada. It works very well in Scotland. A little note here. Many of you may know that I was married to a Scottish lady in the past whose former late husband, by the way, died in Scotland awaiting treatment for his cancer after being misdiagnosed by Scottish hospitals on three separate occasions. No, Donald, I don't think you're quite right on that one. The economy does better under the Democrats rather than the Republicans. Really? Why did you run as a Republican then, Donald? Elizabeth Warren stated, quote, Donald Trump and her both agree that there ought to be more taxation. He thinks eminent domain is a wonderful thing. Think he's likely to pardon the Hammonds or the Bundys? I doubt it. Just before he announced he was going to run, he got a mysterious phone call from Bill Clinton. He's known Hillary for years, and by his own admission, is a little bit biased because of that great relationship. Telling Greta Van Susteren he just likes her and her husband. Tell me, you think that chant, lock her up, during the campaign had any real meaning in his mind that the masses were shouting? Or was it campaign rhetoric? Hillary's always surrounded herself with very good people. Again, very good people. You mean people like John Podesta, Loretta Lynch, Deborah Wasserman Schultz, Susan Rice, James Comey, Cheryl Mills, Anthony Weiner, Uma Abedin? Are these very good people, Don? Really? Seriously? He thinks Hillary would do a good job. According to Paul Joseph Watson, Trump has donated to both the Clinton campaign and the Clinton Foundation. And according to Bill Clinton, who said the same thing, he asserted and he affirmed it on a talk show. Bill Clinton affirmed that Trump, as a Republican, supported the Clinton Foundation before they got the memo. What memo was Clinton speaking about? Trump was also supported Chuck Schumer, Harry Reid, and Anthony Weiner. And by the way, you know who Harry Reid is? Harry Reid's the guy that appointed Navarro as the Bundy's judge, who ought to be recused and thrown in jail and disbarred for the atrocities that she's doing to the Bundys. He flip-flopped on being very pro-life, and now he's very pro-choice. And according to Paul Joseph Watson, Trump's whole shtick is posing as an anti-establishment candidate. But according to Watson, his cozy relationship with the Clintons suggests that he is clearly the opposite of that. Now, do you still think that child trafficking, pedophilia, or any possible connections to the Clintons regarding such matters are going to be even remotely scrutinized by Trump? Do you think? We'll be back in three. I got more, folks. Be right back. Round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, 'cause I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is you think I should. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap, but did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Before we get back to this, I'm going to go to Fred in Iowa. Fred, you're on with Michael. How you doing?
You Fred in Iowa. Okay.
I can hear you okay, Fred. How you doing?
universal health care, pro-choice, Hillary is okay, a friend of mine, single payer, got a call from Bill Clinton. He gave to the Clinton Foundation. He makes popular statements, and this is the thing that I said 8 months ago, that he's what the people want to hear. Most effective top women. Gregory Angelo, pro-gay, vaccine. Foul language. Have you ever asked for forgiveness of God? I ask for forgiveness every day of my life. Norman Vincent Beale, you covered that, his pastor. Okay. People, write this down. I knew this damn early a year ago, most of this. The Trump card by Walter Veit. Okay. The reason for the deep state, or whatever you want to call it, and I've got another name for it, the person that runs this world in control right now, Trump, is to bring in the one world church. Okay, I told the producer that I'd have 100 in on Saturday. It looks like I'm going to be Monday or Tuesday, day late and a dollar short. But for a few reasons, but Eric the Screamer Hughes, and also this Rick Jones. Now, Michael, you and a few others are saving the bacon of RBN. And if your integrity and your courage keeps up, because it's going to be tough on you, because the troll callers hit you hard, but you're wise enough to them. But anyhow, that's enough yapping from this old guy that will be 80 in 4 days. I kind of fibbed about that. I'm gone unless you want to ask me some questions.
No, that's okay, but I want to wish you a happy birthday in 4 days, Fred, and thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I want to get through this before the top of the hour here, so let's see if we can continue. Rand Paul, quote, he buys and sells politicians of all stripes and is already hedging his bets on the Clintons. In his book, Think Big, he professes being a Christian, but also boasts of having sex with some of the top women in the world. In a quote from his book, I quote, oftentimes when I was sleeping with one of them top women in the world, I would say to myself, thinking about me as a boy from Queens, can you believe what I am getting? New York Post referred to him as a well-known womanizer. Now, make a note here, folks. I don't take much heart from that publication. However, I do consider it in the context of what he quoted in his own book. Trump did not refute the claim. Now, there's a bit of smut reported here, and I won't expound, but one can draw their own conclusions about Melania posing nude in a men's magazine. His Taj Mahal casino boasted of an adult entertainment complex with both female and male strippers, pole dancers, and lap dancers. All I can say here is that a former Jesus-named Pentecost young people's leader, such as myself, such actions would not be looked upon with favor by any strict evangelical orator of the gospel. Now, I'm not included in myself because I'm not an orator of the gospel, nor am I still a member of that Pentecostal church. I've got the break coming up, top of the hour. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Andy in Texas, I'll take you right after the top of the hour break. Hang on, buddy. Be right back.
I paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I can get too. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.